Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, got a lot of basketball talk. Also, the football team is looking for a new defensive coordinator. Second time they've had that search in the last couple of months. Nice weekend for the track teams. Tennis with another busy weekend. Had the Grand Slam banquet on Friday night. But going to start with that first place A-State men's basketball team, now winners of seven in a row. A couple of double-digit road wins this past week, beginning Wednesday at Southern Miss. That's a really tough place to play. Mm-hmm. I know you can look at their overall and their conference record, and they're kind of middle of the pack right now, but they're really, really good at home. They were 9-1 at home this season going into that game on Wednesday, and look, we never led in the first half. It was kind of in that range, 4 to 8 points most of the way in the first half, and then down 41-37 at the intermission. But, man, what a start to the second half. We scored 19 straight points at one point. It was a 26-2 run overall, and the Red Wolves just completely controlled the game from that point out. And it was really good to see them rebound the way they did. Coach Hodson even talked about it after the game. He said, look, I told our team, if we win the rebounding battle, we win the game. And it was dominant at 44-34 on the glass. And the Red Wolves had 14 offensive rebounds that turned into 26 second chance points. So basically, anytime you got a offensive board, you turned it into points. Yeah. Your two bigs were really good. Isaiah Nelson and Rashad Marshall combined for 20 points and 17 rebounds. Taryn Todd with 25 points. And you go on to win 81-68. And the second half kind of made it look easy. But again, that is not an easy place to go in and win.
If it was, more people would do it.
Yeah.
Because they're wanting to. I got news for everybody goes in there is wanting to win. Just not very many of them do. No, it is a tough place. It has been, you know, for a long time. It certainly has been. And you look at their record at home since they've joined the league, really good. There's no such thing as a bad win, even though sometimes people would try to convince you otherwise. There certainly is no such thing as a bad road win. And there's absolutely positively no such thing as a bad conference road win.
No.
Any one of those you get by any way possible, you grab it and move on to the next one.
What I'm about to say will apply to the next game at Texas State as well, but there's just zero sense of panic. I mean, even when this team gets off to slow starts, you know when they get it going, the other team's going to have a really hard time dealing with it right now.
Their ability to go on runs, you know, we've never heard of a 29-0 run like they had in one of the conference home games.
I think it was Georgia State.
Yeah.
We had the 29-0 run.
Yeah, Coastal was the one in December. You just don't hear that. Hear a 19-0 run on the road. And so that's part of the reason there's no panic. But I tell you this, and I think more and more, this is what people are cluing into. You don't go on big runs just because you start hitting shots. Because if you go up and give a shot up on the other end, you're not going on a run. You're just trading baskets. All of this was made about, it's this offense, and it's the positionless basketball, and it's playing fast, and all five guys can shoot it, and it's dunks and threes. More and more, I hear, even like on the national level, when people are talking about this team, the conversation starts with the way it plays defense.
Top 20 in the nation in field goal defense, three-point defense. I mean, they're doing a lot of things well on that end of the floor. And the thing about that Southern Miss game is, during that run, they weren't giving Southern Miss any second opportunities. And they'd get the defensive rebound, and they were just beat Southern Miss down the floor. It was so quick. It's so quick when they get a defensive board, how they turn and push it back the other way. It's just hard for them to keep up. And Southern Miss was playing their third game in 5 days. They had a makeup game on Monday. So they had played Saturday, Monday, and Wednesday. So you understand maybe they were a little tired, and the Red Wolves took advantage of that. And it was really, really good to see. This A-State team goes on the road again on Saturday. They play at Texas State, a Texas State team that they had defeated in Jonesboro just 7 days before. And slow start in the first 10 minutes of the game. We had 11 first-half turnovers, which is extremely uncharacteristic. And most of those were in the first 10 minutes. We were down 19-9 at one point. But, again, zero panic. Got on a run, and before you knew it, they're up six at halftime, 39-33.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a scenario where you shoot almost 70% in the first half and you're up by six. But it's just because too many trips didn't have a shot early in the game. But when they got a shot, they made them all.
Never trailed in the second half. Went on to win 85-74. And you talk about the team and the way they shot. They shot 57% for the game. And we talk about just how many threes the Red Wolves shoot, averaging 33-point attempts per game. Only shot 13 in this one. And we made eight of them. So a really high percentage. But you shot less than half of the three-point tries that you normally do, and really did a great job getting the ball inside. In fact, outscored Texas State in the paint, 44-30, and a lot of those points came from the big man, Isaiah Nelson. What a game he had. 23 points, 11 rebounds, second double-double of the season, 11th in his career, and he had a perfect shooting night. 10 of 10 from the floor, and most of those layups and dunks. They were able to get the ball inside to him, and Isaiah was extremely good. And look, he wasn't the only Red Wolf that had a double-double in this game. Kobe Julian had a great game, too. He had 19 and 10 to go along with three blocks, and Terrence Ford with another good performance. He had 20 points and five assists, but it all added up into an 11-point road win, and A-State ends up sweeping the season series with Texas State for a second straight year.
Sun Belt put out on Monday that Zay's the first player in the league since 2018 to go be perfect from the floor with at least 10 attempts.
Seven straight wins now. That ties for the longest win streak since the year Coach McCaslin was here back in the 16-17 season, so you're going back 8 years, and Red Wolves will try to keep it going on the road this week. They'll play at Marshall Wednesday at 8, and then in the Sun Belt MAC Challenge Saturday at 1 against Kent State. Now, one other note we want to mention here, that Saturday, February 15th, home game against Troy that was originally scheduled for 2 o'clock has been moved back to 7 o'clock to accommodate, once again, national television. This will be the fourth nationally televised game of the season for the Red Wolves. And I guess we could have expected this with A-State in first place, Troy in second, and these two teams heading down the home stretch.
So you and I were talking a little bit before we started recording here. You know, the Sun Belt put out before the season started, basically they got, as a league, we got four national TV spots. You knew the Sun Belt was having a game on an ESPN network this day at this time. And one of those, the third one of those four, is there was going to be a game February 15th at 7 o'clock. It was just a matter of which game it was going to be. Now, the first available TV slot went to A-State versus App State.
Yeah.
The second available TV slot went to A-State at Marshall.
This Wednesday.
So the only discussion point on our end, and I say internally as a staff, was there was no doubt what the biggest game in the league is on February 15th. We were just all sitting back wondering, will they put us in the first three spots when the league only gets four? That was the only question, because I mean, you can't get a better matchup.
No.
And also too, not only that, but even beyond that a little bit, would they go Troy at A-State for a second straight year on national TV?
And it was huge last year.
So those were the only things we were waiting to see. That we knew that was the only possible thing. And so we obviously got the answer to that question. Yes, they will put Arkansas State in three of the four in the first three spots the conference has on national TV.
I know you're getting to work already on trying to promote that, and obviously we'll talk a lot more about that.
Well, I can tell you, I'll tell our friends here on this podcast this. I'll be honest with you. The theme's going to be a blackout. All right? I'm not giving you a shirt.
We already did that.
Wear black. Wear black. Saturday night.
Get huge savings now at every Kavanaugh dealership. Kavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Kavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars.
Bring a vehicle?
Get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to KavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Continuing along here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. The women began a six-game homestand this past week, hosted Troy to begin the homestand, a matchup of two of the Sun Belt's best teams. Troy's been a power in the league for, gosh, how many years now?
Oh, about a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been up there.
They've been fantastic under Shanda Rigby, and the job she's done there has been phenomenal. But this game got started well before tip-off. And I know you've gathered a lot more information than I have on this.
Oh,
but
yeah, I got the tea.
It's turned into Balloon Gate. I want to know, what have you found out? What happened with the three-point balloon before Thursday's game?
First of all, we talked about on this podcast last week that I, you know, going back and looked, in my opinion, I thought this was the biggest Sun Belt home game the A-State women have played in about 10 years in terms of being in the second half of the season, the impact they've had on the standings. It was a big game. She already had that going. And then I'm at lunch Thursday, and I get a text from Harley Singletary, our facilities head, and she texts me a screenshot that she got from somebody on the Troy side that said, "Hey, y'all, I'm sorry. We were taking pics with your balloon, and we popped it. Please let us know how to replace it. So sorry." They'd popped the three-point balloon. Now, I'll say that it wasn't like they tried to hide it. Obviously, they fessed up to popping the balloon. There are a couple of questions I have. One is, why are you messing with the balloon? That's one thing. They wanted a picture with the balloon. But the other thing that's it was interesting to me is that, like, that balloon had been in the air for 5 days. Now, a helium balloon in the air for 5 days is not as big and as full on day five as it was on day one.
No.
Thus, in some way, I almost want to know how it popped, because it was not going to be easy to do, to pop a balloon that hadn't had any air in it in 5 days.
Maybe squeezing it too hard?
Yeah, I don't know. But nonetheless, it set off a chain of events.
Destiny Rogers had every right to be upset and to use that as motivation for her team. And apparently she did.
Well, even on this form of the podcast, we have a little more liberty. I'm not going to tell you what she said when she called me to make sure I knew about the balloon. And so she did turn that into a thing. So to kind of give you, from my side, my staff side, so we had, this balloon's an adventure. I had two more balloons ordered that were coming, supposed to be here this week, today or tomorrow. Two more just like the one that was up in the air. But I didn't have another one just like that at the ready, because we bought it in Jonesboro. Face-to-face, got the only one they had at the time when we bought it, and the store had not been able to replace it. So they didn't have more to sell me. So we went back to the archives and had, there was another balloon in Ken Stewart's bag that I get it. Like, I knew it was red, white, and blue. Well, I didn't know. It was like, I really think the thing is a Pepsi logo. I think that balloon is a big Pepsi logo.
That's what I thought, too, when I saw a picture.
I knew it was red, white, and blue, but I didn't know it was a Pepsi logo. And I didn't really care at this point. So we go in there. Kayla Jones is on my staff. She is our balloon expert now.
Okay.
I go in there with her. We're blowing up the red, white, and blue balloon. We get it filled up. We're walking it to the other end. And as I'm walking it from one end to the other, the whole walk, I'm hearing, psss. I mean, that thing hadn't been blown up in who knows when. And it's leaking. And so we go back, and literally, Kayla, with her earring, it finds the spot she hears it come from. She slaps a piece of duct tape on it, and it made it through the game.
Wow,
now,
held up.
In the hashtag karma moment of the year, the opponent comes in, pops your three-point balloon, and then just picked it up and put it in the trash can, which was another thing that had them wound up. We get another balloon in the air and then hit 17 threes.
Most ever against a Sun Belt Conference opponent, second most in school history. What a way to respond.
Yes.
To having your three-point balloon popped.
And that's why when the team won the game, huddled at half court, they all turned around and pointed at the balloon. They were wound up.
Well, I love it.
And somebody, I'm not saying who, they may or may not be in this room, then took the balloon out of the trash can. Because there was parts of it I needed, believe it or not. So I got what I needed out of the trash can. And then when the women weren't looking because they were on the floor in their shoot-around, I went and hung it on their locker room door. Just in case they'd forgotten, I knew they hadn't. When they got back off the floor from shoot-around, it was hanging on the doorknob. And that's why if you go back and you look at that recap video they put out after every game, Dez is wearing it around her neck like a deflated feather boa.
What a great story. And for the game to transpire the way it did just made it perfect. Look, Troy led 41-35 at half, but what a third quarter. Red Wolves outscored Troy in the third, 34-19. Go on to win it 91-77. I mentioned the 17 threes, most ever in a Sun Belt game for the Red Wolves. 25 assists, our sixth most in school history. Chrislyn Rose had 11 of those assists, second most in school history. And Zion Shannon with a team-high 17 points. Outscored them in points off turnovers, too, 22-7.
Here's a key stat to that game. Troy was the number one rebounding team in the country. They have more rebounds than anybody in the country, and we were minus one, 46-45.
Yeah, if you can stay even with them on the boards or close to even, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And obviously it turned into an advantage for the Red Wolves the other night. Good, good win over Troy. Then Saturday, another big day. It was the Play for K game. I know they had the special pink jerseys they were wearing. Always great to see the support for breast cancer awareness. And then it was alumni day as well. How'd that go?
You know, it went well. It made kind of a chaotic day. Just, I mean, I say not really, but just a lot of running, especially on the front end. But it was worth it to get to visit and see so many former players and see especially the handful of the original team here. Coach Wadeel here. You had three former head coaches in the house. Coach Wadeel, and then Sarah Woolley, who followed her, and Jerry Ann Winters was here.
Very, very
so
cool.
That was neat. And then, you know, Dez was great, where like she spent time with them. She came into their room they had pregame and spent time with them. And actually, that's where the picture of the four head coaches came from.
Yeah.
And then, you know, next door where the courtside club is, they do their Chalk Talk session. You know, they stopped on the way by and told all the room where the former players were in, hey, you guys come in here. And so the Chalk Talk was full because the former players were in there too, listening to a game preview from the staff. And so then to get them all, everybody who was here out on the floor at halftime, had 8 of the 16 members of the all-50-year team here, and to get to introduce them, it was a good day, fun day, and yeah, they got to see a win against, I mean, a pesky little South Alabama team. And here's the deal, and I actually went and talked to South Alabama staff after the game. They were standing there talking to Rudy Evans, one of our assistants, and I walked down there and introduced myself and said, you guys are about to beat somebody, and I'm just glad it wasn't here today.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting. They don't have a conference win, but here's the thing. They've got good pieces. They got good young players. And I think the biggest credit to their staff is they haven't quit. They don't have a conference win. They come in here playing one of the hottest teams in the league, and you get down 20 in the first half. You're supposed to roll over and take a butt kicking, and South Alabama wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it was 22, the lead in the first half.
And it got down to 4 in the third quarter.
Yeah. They continued to fight, but our girls able to stretch it out and win it 80-63. Zion Shannon with another big game. She had 22 points. And how about Winter Rogers? She turned in a double-double, 10 points and 12 rebounds. That makes 10 straight wins for the A-State women. That's the longest win streak in 9 years.
And so hopefully, like, as they keep stacking them up, like, right, that stat's not going to change for a minute, because the reason that that team 9 years ago started some but play 18-0, finished 19-1, and won the league by 3 games. Even that team that started 18-0 in conference play didn't win at the Stephens Center.
Yeah, that place is just cursed, I think. That was an amazing team that obviously won the Sun Belt regular season title. This year's team has been able to go on the longest win streak since then, yep. Which says a lot about what Coach Dez and
not bad
his team
for
continues
a bunch
to do.
13th.
Yeah, they've overachieved a little bit and in really good position. 10-1 in conference play. They got a couple of more home games this week. Early game, mm-hmm. Wednesday at 11 a.m. against Georgia State, and then they'll play the Sun Belt MAC Challenge contest against Bowling Green Saturday at 2.
Yeah, I'll touch on Wednesday morning. You know, obviously, it's the Education Day game, and so, you know, stuff is different, and I know there's been kind of correspondence sent out to the season ticket holders. You're absolutely welcome to come to the game, and if you really, really want to, you're welcome to sit in your season tickets, but you're probably going to have a kid to move to do it, and you're going to be surrounded on all sides by other kids. It was where I spent part of my weekend putting together this jigsaw puzzle of where to put all these children. Last year, we had a nice big crowd, and there were about 2,000 kids here. This year, we got about 3,300 signed up to be here. And so you guys were figuring out, where am I putting these people? You have to literally assign spots by school. So that's always an interesting little jigsaw puzzle to put together. But for our fans who are coming, whether you walk up and buy tickets or you have season tickets, we hold sections H and J, the two sections right behind our bench. We keep open for season ticket holders and fans to come watch the game, sit right behind the Red Wolves bench, and there aren't any kids in those sections.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program.
Back one more time here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Well, we're looking for a new defensive coordinator again. Nate Dreiling, who I know Coach Jones was extremely excited about, and one of the more talented young defensive coaches in the country. He's 33 years old and has got some great experience already. You would think a guy like that would be coveted, mm-hmm. and he was by none other than the University of Oklahoma. So he ends up going to OU, and I think Coach Jones has some good names in mind, and I'm sure he'll bring in another very talented defensive coach. But
look,
search is on.
It is, and look, I could speak. I'm pretty positive. Nate Dreiling wasn't anticipating that happened. The dude had already bought and moved into a house. Didn't rent one. They'd already bought a house and moved into it. So I tell you, like, I mean, this is not what he was trying to have happen.
Yeah.
You know, he got a ton of autonomy in putting that defensive staff together. So you just chalk that up to it is what it is. And like I said, Coach Jones, he knows too many dudes.
Because of that, you know that the Red Wolves are going to come out okay in this deal. Indoor track and field competed at a couple of different meets over the weekend in Louisville and Lubbock. Some of the highlights: Jacob Pyatt shattering the school record in the 3,000 meters. He's the first Red Wolf to ever run the 3,000 meters under 8 minutes. He had a time of 7:58. So congratulations to Jacob. And then Carly Pujol wins the women's pole vault, a jump of 4.20 meters, just inches shy of the program record. The indoor track and field teams will be back in action this weekend at the Steve Miller Invite in Manhattan, Kansas. Tennis team had a couple of more meets over the weekend. They went to St. Louis on Friday, dominated there. They won six of the seven matches and then ended up falling at Mississippi State on Sunday 4-1. And they'll be back in action this coming Friday at Butler.
And they both, in the Ole Miss matches and the Mississippi State matches, both talking with the staff, those matches were sort of closer than the final score. You lost a couple of matches that you were in that could have made the outcome a little different. I don't think much happened that sort of changed their excitement where they are. I mean, it's really neat to see what they've done in a real short amount of time.
It's a real short amount of time before we get baseball season going.
Yeah.
That'll be next week, February 14th, the season opener against Morehead State. Three-game series at home with that season opener, a 3 o'clock start time. But it'll be here really quick, and really, really enjoyed the Grand Slam banquet the other night. Huge success. Just looked great. Fantastic setup. Maya Garrett did a great job getting that going at the Embassy Suites. 71 tables. So we were full inside the Red Wolf Convention Center there. And Mike Matheny was great. Really, really enjoyed the Q&A with him. You know, one of my favorite moments is the Edway Heart and Hustle mm-hmm. Award. And this is something that Tommy Raffo, it was really, really important to him. And it really got across to his players. It's something that Coach Silva has fully embraced, too. He's wrapped his arms around this Edway Heart and Hustle Award. And he even said, as he was presenting it, this is the biggest honor we give in our program. And I love to hear that. And he talked extensively with the Way family, in particular Philip and Diana. Always great to see them at the banquet. They always come. And Philip had his daughters there, Philip being Edway's son. But such a special award for one of my favorite all-time people, Edway, and Kaysen Tollett winning that honor the other night. And look, all you got to do is go back and listen to the episode we had with Kaysen Tollett. You'll hear all the stuff he's gone through and realize why he deserves to be a Edway Heart and Hustle Award winner.
Yeah. Yeah, go back and find it. I really like that kid, that young man. And he went through his first year here. And that's not even to count the stuff he'd gone through before he got here. But just his first year here, it was like, hurry up and get well so something unbelievably freaky can happen to you again. Because none of this was your run-of-the-mill stuff. I mean, the stuff that was happening to him, it's like, how is this?
And getting back one year and your second at bat of the season, injuring yourself again.
Yeah, fastballs off the helmet, foul balls in the throat, catching, just knee injuries. It was just getting hit in the mat, just every kind of stuff you could think of. And he just stuck it out and is still a heck of a player and can't wait to see the year he has for us coming up.
Yeah, he definitely had a series of very unfortunate events. I had a series of extremely unfortunate events on Saturday. And it's important to me. It's something I love to do every year, to host the Grand Slam banquet. And after I'd called the game at Hattiesburg, the Southern Miss game on Wednesday, I came back to Jonesboro, got ready for the banquet on Friday night. I hosted the banquet Friday night, and I had booked early flights on Saturday. And my plan was to land in Austin at noon on Saturday for the 4 o'clock game at Texas State. Well, I won't go through everything that happened, but there were a lot of things that kind of went wrong. I had to get extremely creative as far as how we were going to deal with the situation and me try to get to San Marcos in time for the game. I landed in Austin a few minutes after 2 for a 4 o'clock game. My equipment bag landed in Austin on a separate flight about 45 minutes later. I ended up taking my equipment bag off the carousel at the airport at 3:03 in Austin. I had parked my rental car illegally in front of where the baggage claim is, and I was just going to camp out no matter what. I'd take a ticket, whatever I got to do. And I went in, picked up the bag, sprinted to the car with it. Off I went to San Marcos. Now, that drive, if everything goes well, is about 30 minutes. Now, when it became clear earlier in the day that I was probably not going to be there in time to get set up and be on the air for our pregame show, which began at 3:30, I'm thinking, okay, well, how are we going to deal with this? Well, I knew you were calling a game. I knew Cade Carlton was calling a game. And Kara Ritchie, who had been sick for several days, I had to call her to fill in on the pregame show. I said, you're going to have to do this pregame show from the studio. So I gave her instructions on, you know, how long each segment should be. I sent her a really, really long text. She came up here, and thanks to her for coming and doing that. And I'm glad we did that, because when I get on I-35, traffic's backed up, and I'm thinking, can anything else go wrong today? So it was slow going for a couple of miles. Still, my ETA is about 3:45. I actually listened to the first 15 minutes of our pregame show while I was in the car. I parked at the arena at 3:45. I sprinted with my equipment to the front door, and Jerry Scott is there waiting with my media pass. Go straight to my spot. I'm sprinting along the concourse to my broadcast spot. I get hooked up. I feel really disrespectful. I apologize to everybody because I was setting up during the national anthem. Had to get set up.
Desperate times.
Desperate times. I've never done that before in my life. But I connected back with the station at 3:56. I was on air at 3:58, and that's the way we had planned it out. It went perfectly according to the plan we had, with Kara wrapping up and getting it to me in San Marcos. And I said, welcome to San Marcos. Here's your starting lineups. And just a minor miracle that that happened, but there was a whole lot that went into that. And in 20 years, I have never had a closer call than that.
Well, you can't.
We had one a few years ago at Coastal football.
We did, yeah.
We were there, but the equipment was not. Yep. We had to wait for the equipment, and Kara had to do the first hour of the pregame from that you usually did back then from the studio. But we were still on the air an hour before kickoff. But this was a much closer call than that.
That's the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff you get here.
It is, and hopefully I never have to tell a story like that again. That was like, I have those dreams. I don't know if you have the dreams about being late somewhere. Well, I have dreams about being late for a broadcast. That was kind of my bad dream being lived out. But I was proud of the way it all came together. Kara helping out, Ryan James in the studio, who's our producer, kind of making sure everything went smooth. But it seemed seamless on the air, you know, just making that transition. So proud of the way that happened, and hopefully we never, ever have to do it again. Anything else we need to talk about
here? There was so much going on, and that's why we were intentional kind of about not having a guest this week, because there were so many things to talk about that we got all the way through just talking about the stuff that happened on the field of play to go, oh, by the way, the basketball coach signed a contract extension.
That's exactly right.
And that's big news. Obviously, everybody saw Coach Hodson's extension. It's a neat story. You know, I compliment all parties, coach, as well as, Jeff Purinton and Dr. Shields, and obviously I was with Dr. Kelly at the university system level. I mean, that doesn't happen without everybody on the same page. And I think it makes clear everybody's commitment to one another. And that doesn't mean, and people, you saw the comments, does that mean it's foolproof that nobody can come in here and hire Coach Hodson away? It doesn't mean that, but it means the list of people are going to got a lot shorter.
It did, and it means if he does leave, then the Red Wolves are still in good shape.
But again, it shows, I mean, I credit him too, because it shows his commitment to this place. And what you should take from that, it doesn't mean he's staying forever, but it means there's a real short list of places he'd leave for. And beyond that, it shows he's happy with what he's got at Arkansas State. And I'll tell you this right now. I believe this. This thing plays out, and Coach Hodson's in his third year at Arkansas State next year. we will be ranked in the top 25.
If you keep this trajectory right now, then they're certainly on that path. I was excited to get it done, to see it get done. And, yeah, big props to Coach Hodson for wanting to get it done. Jeff Purinton for his part in this. It was a really, really good thing to see the other day. So I think it's a win-win for all parties, and hopefully we can keep them here a while longer.
Just keep winning. That's what everybody's doing right now, knock on wood.
Hopefully we can keep those win streaks going.
Yeah.
This week, obviously, we'll have a lot more to talk about next week on our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and the Kavanaugh Auto Group.